Do you feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast. Healing happens here. My, do I feel like a stranger in this space? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast, ladies. I know it has been months since I have released anything, and I was just kind of ushered into a season where I needed to step away and step away quickly. And I may very well step away again, but I am going to try my diligent best to remain consistent. But we come up on seasons in life where they are sudden. We come upon sudden seasons of life where certain things are quickly required. And so, because you guys have not heard from me in a time, I do apologize for that. But I'm really excited. I wasn't even planning on recording this right now, but I felt a stirring to do so, just even with all that is going on in my life. Today's episode is entitled, How Long, Lord? And if you're not already on my email list, please go ahead and sign up for it, because I send this out in email form as well. This is a part of my late night series. I usually upload the late night series to my social media pages. So on Facebook, that's @its_Hannah. And on Instagram, it's @its_Hannah, the brand. Please follow me in those places. And you can kind of hear the audio tied into these late night series devotionals. So really quickly, I just want to talk about the period of waiting. One of my quotes that I have on a few products, and I think we have a podcast episode with the title is Marinating in the Wait. And usually when I'm out and I'm vending and I'm able to connect with women face to face, they see those products and it hits them like marinating in the wait. Usually we see waiting somehow connected to negativity. It has a negative connotation when you have to wait for something. And because it can be easily viewed as something negative, we miss out on the opportunity to see the treasure in waiting, the safety in waiting, the refuge and fortress that can come within seasons of waiting. We fail to see God's hand, that space, our mental space, our emotional space can become very clouded when we have to wait, because we somehow link waiting with failure. We link waiting with a no. We link waiting as delay.
And that's what today's episode is going to be about. So it's tied into the late night series. If you're already on my mailing list, you will be receiving this late night series, or you probably already have gotten it. And so you have a little backstory, but I want to share some backstories, more than one. So I'm going to read what I shared with my email list, and then I'm going to talk about some other things. So as I sent out this email blast to my email audience, I reflected back on one of the first setbacks that I received in life that really stand out in my head. And that was the summer after I completed kindergarten. I was to be entering first grade. And so if you're an adult, it can be assumed that you have also crossed that bridge of having to go from kindergarten to first grade. So you're probably like, Hannah, what's the big deal? So I went to, it was sort of a public kindergarten. It wasn't necessarily public school, but it was a public kindergarten. And in a public kindergarten, it's not their tradition to teach you how to read. That's usually something that public schools will teach in first grade. And so after my kindergarten year that I successfully completed, the Lord put it on my mom's heart to not continue me on in public school, to instead pursue a private Christian education for me. And this was difficult because my mom was a single parent. And so she was the sole provider for our house. And, you know, we had meager means. You know, we weren't in poverty, but it's not cheap to be a single parent, and it's not cheap to be a single parent with three children. And so my mom always worked to the bone. She always worked hard. She always had an excellent work ethic, and she worked very hard to provide for her family. And by God's grace and his strength, she did just that. My siblings and I are all fully grown. I'm the youngest, and we're fully grown. And my mom did what was necessary to care for her kids. So I'm so grateful for that. But seeing this mountain ahead of her, feeling the urge to put me into private schools, it wasn't something that she could see her way with. If you go back and listen to episode 17 entitled Faith Over Fear, I talk quite a bit about moving in faith, walking by faith, going for those things that cannot be seen, and how God creates what is visible from the invisible. So nonetheless, my mom took a leap of faith and said, you know what, I'm going to enroll her in private Christian school, and I'm going to, you know, put in the extra hours or whatever I need to do to be able to fund that. And so she started the homework, the research. We found a school, and everything was fine until they asked this question: does the child know how to read? And she said, no. And so they understood that I had just come from a public situation, and that it was not the practice to teach children reading in kindergarten. Instead, it was first grade. And they let it be known that if I were to have moved forward in their first grade class, I would be greatly behind, because all of the children already knew how to read. They teach reading in kindergarten. So I would have been behind. And so the choice was really up to my mom. She could have easily decided to look somewhere else. She could have easily decided to just put me back in public schools and have me proceed as I was supposed to with my class. And so, of course, with much prayer, my mom decided that she wanted me to not only have a more quality education than what was being offered in public schools, but she also wanted me to have a biblical worldview for my early education. And as a woman looking back now, as a mother of multiple children looking back now, I am in full agreement with the decision that my mom made. It really shaped my early years academically and spiritually. So nonetheless, we made the change, and it was an adjustment. I knew that I was supposed to be in first grade, and I was told I was back in kindergarten. And so at that age, I didn't quite understand. I wondered if something was wrong with me, if I wasn't smart enough. And as I went through school and had to talk to different kids, every time, you know, you're having conversation with your friends and they're like, how old are you? And everyone's 5 and I'm 6, or everyone's 7 and I'm 8, or everyone's 10 and I'm 11. it was, well, did you stay back? And it was kind of like, well, yes, I did, but I didn't stay back because of poor grades. It was just so much to explain. And you can imagine the different types of responses and feedback that I got throughout the year. So I learned to accept that reality. It was what it was. And then I was faced with the sting of that decision again in 2003 when I was supposed to graduate. And suddenly I saw a lot of my friends who did proceed to first grade years before that, graduating and getting ready to start their lives and all these things. And it kind of was like, man, I'm not graduating this year. This is the year I'm supposed to be graduating. But looking back, I just thank God because I was able to make wonderful friendships that I would not have been able to make had I been moved ahead. I met my husband, whom I would have never met had I moved ahead. There were colleagues and mentors and supervisors and opportunities that have greatly benefited my life. And had I moved forward, I'm sure there would have been other things, but I would not have met the people that I met. And of course, my story would have just been very different. So now as a woman looking back, I see God's hand in all of it, and I'm so grateful. But I want to talk today about how delays and setbacks can deeply affect us. I mentioned several times that now, as a woman looking back, I see God's hand. Now, as a woman looking back, I see God's sovereignty. But when I was going through it, I didn't see it that way. The people around me didn't see it that way. I think about Job in the Bible as he shared with his friends his misfortune. They sat with him in those places, but they joined with him and some even against him in trying to see what he did wrong, in trying to highlight the fact that there must have been something wrong that he did. So they shared in that misery, but they didn't necessarily have the perspective that God is moving here. His hand is in this, even though it doesn't appear that way. And so I see it now, but as I was going through it, I felt left back. I felt forgotten. I felt denied. I felt delayed. And so that was my very first experience in life with this particular thing. But of course, as I went through life, I continued to experience many different scenarios where I felt like, okay, I've reached a certain place in my life and I haven't done this, or I haven't accomplished that, or it looks like these things are working out for others and I feel like I'm moving backwards. I feel like I'm constantly meeting challenges or obstacles. And after a while, that can begin to wear on your spirit. Sometimes the days can become years and still you find yourself in the season of waiting. I had a really, really interesting and amazing experience with this recently. I can't go into full detail just yet, but soon enough I'll be able to share. There was a particular career field that I was very interested in about 10 or 11 years ago. And I pushed to make this thing happen. I was so very determined that this thing was what I wanted to do and I was ready for it. And I pursued it. I researched. I did all that I needed to do, all that you're advised to do, putting yourself out there, applying, doing all the things. And I kept getting one no after the other. And I remember feeling extremely discouraged about this, so much so that I left it alone altogether. I took the words that the employers told me I wasn't ready. And I accepted that and I left it alone. And so fast forward 10 years. The opportunity came back to me. I did not seek it out. Literally, my gifts made room for me, and it came seeking me in a season where I wasn't even thinking about it anymore. I don't know that I was necessarily even interested anymore, but the opportunity came right back before me. And this time around, I felt the nudging of the Lord to move forward and walk in that door that he was opening for me. And I sit here still so dumbfounded because 11 years sounds like a long time, but in God's book, it's nothing. It's a day. It's less than a day. It's a few minutes. It's maybe a few seconds in his book. But there were necessary things that I had to acquire, gain, learn, even suffer through over the past decade to make my positioning that much more firm now. So I just want to challenge you to keep that kind of in the front of your mind. When you are waiting for something, or if you've been denied for something, there are so many reasons. It could genuinely be that God does not want you to have that thing. It could genuinely just be a hard no, but it could also be a not right now. And so rather than simply focusing on the red light or the yellow light, practice what it could mean to trust God. Lord, if this thing is for me, you will allow it to move forward when you see that I'm fit. Not when I determine that I'm fit or when I estimate that I may be fit, but you genuinely know that I'm fit. You know what you have built in me, what you have worked in me to be prepared for this time. Renew your outlook of the Lord as the one who knows you best. Reaffirm your trust and your belief in him as the one who will receive glory from your life, and learn what it means to surrender to his infallible timetable, his infallible timing, and begin to rest that what is for me is for me. There is no reason why I need to feel pressure to do the thing by this age or by this month or by this year. That was another thing. And it still is another thing that I am working through, just even the process of aging. I just celebrated another birthday, and there have been many birthdays where I'm like happy that it's my birthday, but I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm getting a year older. I'm not going to be able to do this. The window's closing for this. And we feel so much anxiety and angst. But learning to trust God, learning to see yourself in proper perspective, that you belong to him, your life belongs to him. You move when he says move, and nothing is lost. Nothing is missing. Nothing is incomplete. He is truly perfect in all of his ways. You'll begin to experience realms of freedom. So I hope that you find that encouraging. I hope that if you are in a season of waiting, or you feel like you have been constantly getting denied, that you will learn to just trust God's plan, trust his plan for you. Trust that if something genuinely is a hard no, that it was not for you, and that there are other things that the Lord has for you. He sees you. He has not forgotten you. He knows you. He loves you, and he is still with you. Ladies, until next time.
Dear listener, your support means everything, and without your listenership, there would be no show. Thank you for tuning in, and be sure to leave a review. I'd love to know the impact of the show in your personal life, and I'd love to increase the chances of other women discovering and being transformed through this podcast. In the meantime, let's stay connected. Visit www.shesmark.com for more episodes, services, collaboration info, to shop the Marked store, or to make donations. In closing, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you." The woman marked by God bears his seal, belongs to him, and is protected by him. She is a partaker in the divine nature of Christ, and therefore she is.